Congregation, the scripture reading for tonight you will find in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, two chapters, chapter 16, the verses 1 to 15, and chapter 17, the first seven verses. Exodus 16, verse 1 to 15, chapter 17, verse 1 to 7. The word of the Lord. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord has brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him, and what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings. And it shall come to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was come up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, It is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. Chapter 17. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched at Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did side with Moses, and said, Give us water, that we may drink. And Moses sent unto him, Why side ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses, said, Wherefore is it that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt, to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do with this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee, there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Thus far the reading of God's word. Is the Lord among us or not? That was the question the Israelite asked in their wilderness journey. The Lord had provided for them manna from heaven, water from the rock, despite their grumblings and quarrels with him. The Lord had shown great patience with them. He had met their every need. And yet they ask. They ask in essence, will God be as good as his word or will he not? Because for us it is very doubtful. Is the Lord among us or not? Maybe that is sometimes a question in your life. You ask, where is God in all of this? When you go through challenging times, when you are in the midst of trouble, maybe marriage tensions or work strains, like what I read in preparing this sermon of one that wrote, Trouble suffocates me, worry entangles me. By night I can sleep, by day I cannot rest, and the burden of suffering is so painful. Where is God? Does he know? Are my prayers heard only by the wall? Is he near? Is he present? Or somewhat distant, only watching? And it seems that life is a wilderness, a desert, and you wonder, is the Lord among us or not? The answer to that question is found here in the book of Exodus, these chapters 16 and 17. And I think it can be summarized with the words once spoken by John Newton when he cried to the Lord, Lord, why is this? And the Lord replied, This is the way. These trials I employ from self and pride to set thee free, that thou mayest find thy all in me. And therefore, with the help of the Lord, I want to reflect with you on those parts of reading of Exodus 16 and 17 that speaks of grumblings in the wilderness. Three main thoughts that show God's provision, God's purpose, and God's presence. There's grumblings in the wilderness. Three points that show God's provision, God's purpose, and God's presence. Congregation, coming to the chapters 16 and 17 of the book of Exodus, we see already God's general provision towards his people. Israel could testify that God had intervened in their lives. He had provided a deliverer, Moses. He had shown them mercy to them, life, when he passed by, seeing blood on their doorposts. And he showed his loving kindness, that is his tenderness, so recalls the psalmist in 136. Him who divided the Red Sea asunder for, and that is the reason, his loving kindness endures forever. He had set the Israelites apart in this world. As the apostle writes in 1 Corinthians 10, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Congregation, in one word, the Lord's intervention in their life is salvation. And so we read in Exodus 14, thus the Lord saved Israel. He delivered them. He liberated them. In fact, Moses sings of it in Exodus 15. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. Now, this may be something that you have sung in your life, but it was the past. Now you're even sometimes doubtful that you even could sing that. Now you feel in the wilderness of life, a desert. And so the Lord leads them into the wilderness. And in this chapter 16 and 17, we see of God's provision in a particular way. In two ways. Manna, Exodus 16, and water, Exodus 17. As chapter 16 began, all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, and they murmur, you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And from there they travel, as we read in Exodus 17, all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin and pitched in Rephidim. And they complained, give us water that we may drink. And you may wonder, why the wilderness? It is a relative and short distance from the land of Goshen to Canaan. About 11 days walk. But now they go into the wilderness. Sir, first, and then the wilderness of Sin, and then on their way to Mount Sinai. A wilderness journey that does not last 11 days, but 40 years. Why then the desert? The wilderness. They have been delivered. Set at liberty. A freedom provided for by the Lord. And freedom in principle, but now in practice. Congregation, maybe we can see it this way, that the wilderness is God's training ground. God's training ground. Where he shows who he is, that first, and shows us also who you and I are. Despite God's abundant provision of a lamb, blood on their doorposts, bringing them out of Egypt, the bitter waters of Meribah changed in sweetness, leading them day and night. Congregation, the wilderness exposes what is inside of us. Our murmurings, our grumbling, our quarrels. Because if you recall the reading of chapter 16, in the first 12 verses, we read already 8 times murmur or murmuring, and many more times throughout the wilderness journey. And murmuring is an expression of discontent or dissatisfaction. Another complaint, a grumbling. It exposes What is in your heart? And they complain. In Egypt, we had it better. And verse 3. When we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. This is how they remember the past. Not slavery. Not their cries to the Lord. But the flesh pots. Bread and full. Congregation, I think what this teaches us, they had left Egypt, but Egypt was still in their heart. They were taken out of slavery, but slavery to the material things was still in their heart. You know what the wilderness teaches us? We quickly forget who the Lord is and what He has done. When there is an adversity in your life, is it the first thing that you remember? God's grace and His mercy and His salvation and His deliverance in your life from the past? How often it is not be like Jacob, all those things are against me. And you draw false generalizations from your own experience and the interpretation of providence, and you become suddenly, astonishingly self-centered, and you see but a very small picture and a seriously distorted of a true picture of the leading of the Lord and His care and His provision and His patience and providence in your life. Do we not quickly forget how often we think we know better how to get from here to there? Are we not like the Israelites, so much more prone to grumble than we are sit patiently and wait for the lessons from the Lord? And yes, dark providences can do this, make us distort everything and turn everything in upon ourselves. Instead of taking a moment and looking back on God's fingerprints in your life in the past. Congregation, we complain because we forget. We forget God's provision all the way long. As Psalm 78 recounts it, and they forgot His works and His wonders that He had shown them. Marvelous things did He. But we forget. We don't see His great patience and providing abundantly in our life. And what more, congregation, grumbling and this whining in your life and thanklessness and are not ultimately the heart responses to circumstances. But let us be honest tonight. It is a response to God. And verse 8, your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And yet, what is the response of the Lord? As the people are running out of patience, no bread, kill this whole assembly with hunger. And God, He hears and responds to the needs of a murmuring, grumbling people. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, so we have read. Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And congregation, this is, I think, an example that God's provision are sometimes in times and places you don't expect it, and certainly you don't deserve it. And well, in Egypt, rich and fertile Nile River, but in the end it could not provide for food and drink. And now here in the desert, where you do not expect bread, the Lord provides. He provides undeserved, despite your grumbling, your murmuring, your complaining, despite our forgetfulness of His faithfulness. And he provides daily. Then I ask you tonight, did such a response of the Lord, of his daily provision in your life, in meeting your needs, transform you? Was there now one day in your life that there was no food on the table? But does it reflect in your life? Does it reflect, as we see in this passage, three things? You have to experience God's provision. You have to show dependence on him. And also teaches us it is communal in practice. And the Lord's provision is experience. So we read in verse 4, I will rain bread from heaven for you, but the people had to participate, and the people shall go out and gather. In order to still their hunger, they need to go out and experience God's provision for them. That is what the Lord commands them. In order to experience the sweetness and strength of God's provision, you need to come to the place where the Lord provides. We heard it so clearly last week. Come ye buy and eat. But do we come? Do we come because the Lord pleads with you? Hearken diligent unto me, eat ye what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And to experience that, you need to go out to come to him and his provision. Second, dependence on him. This daily provision of the Lord for his people. It shows them their dependence on him. In fact, all those 40 years, every morning, there was provision of manna. Do you arise every morning in your life and see the Lord provides also for this day, despite who I am before him, day in, day out? Dependence on him. That could have Jesus in mind when he taught his children to pray, give us this day our daily bread. This dependence on him for this undeserved provision. He gives bread from heaven, and he gives it graciously throughout your entire wilderness journey on earth. And so Joshua 5 instructs us upon the arrival in Canaan. The manna ceased on the morrow. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore. That dependence on him, that experience with his promise, bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. And third, what we see here, it is communal in practice. Verse 4, gather in a certain rate every day, which is explained in the verses 16 to 18, where the Lord writes, gather of it that manna, every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. But what is the point here? This provision of the Lord was shared in community. Yeah, congregation, I know this is quite contrary to the individualistic American culture, but here in the scripture it is community and sharing. That is how Israel ought to be. This is how a Christian community should stand out in this world. A community that lives in dependence on the Lord and share of that what is received. The Israelites did not go out and gather and back in the tent. No, we read they meet it in an omer, meaning those with much shared and had nothing over. Verse 18, and others with little had no lack. In other words, it was a communal affair. And does that reflect in our congregation? This sharing of what the Lord provides in the wilderness of life. And the psalmist reminds us, come and hear, all ye that fear the Lord, and I will declare what he has done to my soul. Those testimonies shared how good the Lord is, despite my complaining in life, to encourage, to talk about it, to share with one another about God's patience and provision through his words, through his care and concern for you, to share that with your children, your grandchildren, your family, in your neighborhood, at work. Congregation, how are we doing? But more, this bread from heaven, provided for a complaining, grumbling people. Congregation, that points us to our need of the bread of life, Christ himself. That is how Moses recounts this event in Deuteronomy 8 to the next generation. Where Moses said, he has fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee known that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord, does man live. As Christ himself reminds us in John 6, I am the bread of life, and he that comes to me shall never hunger. There's not only the outward provisions, but Christ himself. As Christ reminds us, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gave it you, the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he, which comes down from heaven and gives life into the world. And then they said, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. Does that work in your life? Does the provisions of the Lord work out in your life despite your murmuring and complaining? Transform you towards Christ, the bread of life himself. Even maybe now in the wilderness of your life, in the challenges that you face, the pain that you endure, the hurt you have to cope with, or maybe that thorn in the flesh that you experience at your work or experience in yourself of impatience, of temptation, and yet seeing Christ and his provision. That tonight that you will leave this building, you have seen Christ. So Lord, evermore, give us this bread so that you can testify. If they question, and if the question is in your heart, is the Lord among us or not? Can he furnish a table in the wilderness? That you may testify, oh yes, I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Oh congregation, our need for him, this bread of life and the water of life. What we see in Exodus 17, this second example of God's provision in the wilderness. We have read in the beginning of the chapter, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did side with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. In congregation, it's quite remarkable that not only the patience of the people is running out, but also Moses' patience is running out. That he cries to the Lord saying, what shall I do with this people? They be almost ready to stone me. Congregation, what is happening here in this part of their wilderness journey? They complain again. Because they forget again
The Lord in Exodus 15 had changed the bitter waters of Marah into sweet waters. And he brought them even to Elim, where there were 12 waters, wells of water. Refreshment in the desert. And maybe so we so often forget God's refreshment and renewal in the desert of life. And yet the Lord hears and responds to the need of his people again. But in which way? If we read in Exodus 17 that the Lord commands, go on before the people and take 50 of the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take it in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. Remarkable, eh? Remarkable. This quarrel, this siding, this is technically a charge, a legal proceeding. The people did contempt. They charged Moses. That's the word chide. A legal procedure. And for that we read, they be almost ready to stone me. A legal proceeding to execute him. And this legal aspect is underscored by having now elders in verse 5 involved. And now the Lord says, the congregation, I think here he is meeting the deepest need of a quarreling people. And he meets them in his great patience, in his long suffering and in justice. Take thy rod, a sign of justice. And then this unexpected word, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. The Lord says, as it were, Moses, I will take your place. I will stand before you as a substitute on the top of the rock. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. You smite the rock with this rod of justice, where I stand before you, and water shall come out, so that I meet the need of the people that they may drink and quench their thirst. And the Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 10, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The rock was Christ. Standing here in the breach, this mediator, this substitute, where the full wrath of God's justice came on him on another mountaintop on Golgotha. A wrath that you and I deserved. And for the transgression of his people was he stricken, says Isaiah in chapter 53. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. And I shall make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. And that is the hope for us and our children and grandchildren. Christ and him alone. Despite my complaining in the wilderness. Even quarreling with the Lord. And then to read undeserved. Maybe not expected anymore. Behold, I will stand before thee. There upon the rock in Horeb. O congregation, that this night that you may see again. With the eyes of faith that he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Also those sorrows and griefs in the wilderness and desert of your life. That he was wounded for our transgressions. For the murmurings and the grumblings in your life. That in the wilderness wanderings, because we have gone astray, and we turn to our own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, says the prophet, of us all. What a provision. What a provision. Congregation, should this great provision not transform you? Transform you towards Christ, seeing your great need for Him. Because, congregation, our need of Him is great, which we will see in the second point, the purpose of the Lord. Moses, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, reflect on God's purpose in Deuteronomy 8, particularly verse 2 and 3. 40 years are behind them, and he recounts to the second generation, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God has led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what is in thine heart, whether thou keepest his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and feed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. Congregation, two things stand out concerning God's purpose of leading his people through the wilderness. Maybe you sit 10 years, 20 years, 30, 40 years here in church. Maybe it is a wilderness in your life. But this purpose that he leads you to humble you, to test you, and to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And second, he provides for you for this purpose, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Congregation, let us pause for a moment here. God's purpose in your life. And sometimes it is a mystery. And sometimes it seems a puzzle. In times of sorrow and grief and pain and hurt. In times of wanderings. Maybe detours in your life. Times of cares and concern, testings and trials. But does it humble you? Does it make you more Christ-like, the imitation of Christ, where he was oppressed and he was afflicted? He did not open his mouth. Have you discovered by grace what really is in your heart? Your heart? Or whether you have kept his commandments or not? God's purpose for you in the wilderness is that we are stripped of all our devices by which we give ourselves the impression of self-sufficiency. To learn by grace all other things outside Christ dry up in the wilderness. The test, maybe this trial in your life, is whether you rest in him and lean on him and cannot miss him anymore. That you need Christ and him alone. And the parallel of the Israel's wilderness journey and Jesus' wilderness experience is striking. Hey, remember what Moses said. All the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness. And so Jesus was led into the wilderness these 40 years, and Jesus was 40 days, and that he might humble and test you. And Jesus was tempted and tested by the Satan, whether you would keep his commandments or not, and where Christ kept all the commandments perfectly. And that, for who? For a grumbling, complaining people in the wilderness. Oh, that you may see that he has been in the wilderness, where you are possibly now. He was there before you. And therefore, do not resist God's training ground in the wilderness. But that it drives you out time and time again to Christ and him alone. And it could be that a season of loneliness is driving you to seek satisfaction in Christ alone. It could be that each day at home with your children is opening your eyes to a childlike faith and fatherly love of God in Christ, in order to equip you, to encourage and to mentor other parents on raising children in spirit and in truth. If you are in current circumstances, maybe in your work, with responsibilities that the Lord has entrusted to you, in a location where He has placed you, alongside with people whom He has assigned to you, that you seek His guidance to make you more dependent on Him. So this first purpose shows us who we truly are and who we are truly not. And the second purpose shows us our great need of Christ, for His mediatorial provision experiences full redemption in principle and in practice, and are in need for His intercession. For He made intercession for transgressors, for murmurers, for grumblers, for quarrelers. Finding life in His Word, maybe in a dead wilderness and a dry desert. Maybe the cry of your heart, "For the Lord I am waiting, and my hope is in His Word." Oh, with the Lord there is a full redemption. Lord, congregation, what we need is the Lord's presence. The Lord's presence in our midst, in the midst of our families, and in the midst of your life. Our third point: is the Lord among us or not? Is He not? By His abundant and daily provision and providences in your life? Is He not, through His Word, by showing us who we really are, even by grace being delivered from Egypt, though Egypt is so often still in our hearts? Through His Word reminding us that we do not live by bread alone, but only and truly live in and by Christ, who invites us again and again, also tonight, who stands before you: "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Whoever, no one is excluded. You are welcome and invited. Oh, maybe a season of spiritual dryness and a wilderness. God feels distant. Your quiet times feel empty. And the Bible study group seems so lifeless. And to sing, there is no life. And your prayers seem to be so fruitless and tiresome. Let us go back one more time to Exodus 16 and 17 and see the Lord's presence, showing us He is among us. Because He shows us His presence here in three ways. First is a remarkable thing. With all the complaining of Israel for bread and God's provision of manna, verse 6 reads: "At the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Seeing the Lord's provisions in your life, His sustaining grace, His care from day to day, by which you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Congregation, have you ever seen when God plagued the Egyptian, it was to make them know that He was the only God? But when he provided for the Israelites, it was to make them known he was their God. At verse 12, then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Does that not give a perspective in your life? His presence, despite your challenges and cares and concerns and sorrows and struggles, experiencing his undeserved care and provision is to make you know that he is your God. Yes, God may provide differently than you expect. But congregation, let us never forget that he provides more of himself and more than we hoped or prayed for. And secondly, they shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of the land of Egypt. And then we read in addition in Exodus 29, that I might dwell among them. That is the Lord's desire. That is the God's desire, to live among his people. This amazing grace, to live among a grumbling, a murmuring, a quarreling people, and to live among a people wandering in the wilderness, they shall know that I might dwell among them. That is, when they experience my presence, my protection, my care, my love, my forgiveness, my pardon. So that they may truly feel and experience deeply in their hearts that I am the same God who delivered them out of bondage of Egypt and brought them forth for this very purpose, to dwell among them. I am their God. It is the greatest mercy in Christ to have his presence in your life. Not only to be delivered from the bondage of sin, but to experience in practice to be a free people under the protection of your God and King. And that is the future of all God's children. How challenging life might be at times, when trouble suffocates you, when worry entangles you, when you don't sleep by night, when you cannot rest by day, when the burden of suffering seems so painful, when at times you ask yourself, where is God in all of this? Though you may experience his presence now, this future perspective, on for all God's people traveling to that heavenly Canaan, as we read in Revelation, when they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more. And they shall thirst no more. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into the living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. How great is his goodness, which he has laid up for them that fear him. And third, the presence of the Lord is seen in the glory of the Lord. As we read in verse 7, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings. The glory of the Lord, the kabod, it shows his infinite value, his weightiness, the honor that belongs to him. And we read it throughout the book of Exodus, here in chapter 16, but also chapter 24, that the glory of the Lord descended upon Mount Sinai. Chapter 33, that Moses requests to see God's glory, because he cannot without God's presence. And in chapter 40, that the glory of the Lord came upon the tabernacle. And so we read in Exodus 16, verse 10, they, the Israelites, look toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. And then I would say, when you are in the wilderness, even now, lift up your heads and behold and see the glory of the Lord. Seek Christ, the brightness of his Father's glory, and turn to him in your wilderness wanderings in life. Turn to him and look away from self and from your sin and shortcomings and your grumblings in the desert. And that his provision and his purpose in your life and his presence and his glory transform you even for this new week.
When you see Christ in his word and in the wilderness, that you look up and see the glory of the Lord. That changes us for this new week. As I leave you with these practical considerations, to see him and that he shows his presence. 5 T's. Think. Remember. And the psalmist says in 77, I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Shall you do it this week? Thank him. Engage your heart in gratitude for what he has done. The psalmist says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, and I will recount all of your wondrous deeds. Shall you not forget this week? Tell. And Joshua instructs, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. And you tell the stories of the Lord's faithfulness in your life. Transcribe. That means keep a journal. Write out prayer requests and then record the ways in which God answered those prayers. In particular, read them when you feel discouraged and look back on those records of God's faithfulness. And finally, taste and see. In the sacraments, and by grace you may partake in the Lord's Supper, take in our hand the bread and the cup, remembering him. He for me. Don't forget. Is the Lord among us or not? Oh yes. Even in the wilderness. As the Lord replied, this is the way. These trials I employ. From self and pride to set thee free. That thou mayest find thy all in me. Amen. Lord, will grant that blessing in all our lives. The lives of our children, the lives of our young people, the life of us as parents, as grandparents. Whatever we encounter this week, that we may find all in thee. And in that way that we might be a blessing to those around us, in our families, in our workplace, in school, university, college, school, that we are blessing, a testimony of thy grace, of thy provision, of thy presence to others around us. And so, Lord, we'll remember us in thy mercy also this new week, that you will lead us through this week. Take us then by heart and hand, and that by grace that we do not forget one, no, all of thy blessings. And we pray these things in the forgiveness of our sins, in Christ's name alone. Amen.